Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news a day earlier than normal, and I forgot to tell everybody. Sorry, Adam Christensen, you were supposed to be here, but he can't be because I'm an arse. There we go. See?
Production levels.
But fortunately, I've got four sensible people who I managed to talk to who are definitely here, who are definitely going to talk Mac with me, and who are having fun.
Although, where did you find four sensible people? It's just us.
It's okay. Starting top left, first time he's ever been top of the shop. It's awesome. Dr. Happy Mac.
I am a winner. I am this week's winner.
Yes, woo! Mate. You are the person who's going to set the tone for the rest of the day.
Excellent. No cesspits, me.
How's life in the Midlands?
I wish I knew.
Yeah. You're in the Midlands, dude. We've had this conversation before we started.
I live in the beautiful part of the Cotswolds, which is a little isolated area of class swimming in a sea of scum.
Well, thank you.
zombie apocalypse comes. You'll all be wanting to be in the Cotswolds. We'll have this place sealed off so tight.
Yeah, they won't. If they come to you, they'll be camouflaged. Alex in the chat room says, loves the moody angle, DHM.
Yeah.
There you go. Steve Winwood.
Trey MySpace.
Next to him, Col Madden.
Hello, sir.
Overworked man from Essex.
This is going to mess me up today, doing this today, because I'm going to think tomorrow's Saturday and lay in and miss work.
And you're going to get heavily drunk this evening?
No, not... probably.
Are you going to be sober for the big show? Because there's no one famous on this week.
No, probably not then.
All right. Get pissed. Good week.
Yep, absolutely. Managed to get a show out yesterday, so I'm quite happy.
Ah, here and there. Ooh. With Missy. Well done, mate. It actually got published.
We actually managed to sync our clocks and were on the same page and push one out.
Putting Greeny to shame.
Yes, that's how you do it, Will.
That's how you podcast once every 3 months.
I've done two podcasts last month, I think. Was it two? Yeah, two. Oof. Yeah, so stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
There you go. Well done. And we're having a drink tomorrow night as well, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we are, indeed.
Absolutely. Bloody-lutely.
It's a different pub.
Castle, not the castle. I keep saying the castle. It's
Crown,
the
Crown and Anchor.
Crown and Anchor. That's going to come out different when I've had a few. Beneath him, Kelly. How you doing, girl?
Hey. Better now. How about you guys? I'm glad to be here today, finally.
You're a little bit on blocky vision at this end, but that may be me.
Okay.
How's the computer troubles going? Because you've had a bit of a problem this morning.
Slowly. I think everything's back. I'm able to see the show and see the show notes. So I'm going with baby steps.
Good girl.
We'll see how it goes. But yeah, apparently all I have to do is speak with DHM and that will make things better. So,
well, nothing's gone wrong after he said it's all fixed now. You will be getting the bill for £80 though.
Okay.
Plus international call out.
Can I knit you a hat or something instead?
That depends on the hat, but if it's the right hat, Doctor Who-esque, it might do it.
Oh, I can do that. Oh, speaking of, I saw someone the other day. I don't know what you guys call them over there, but it's like the stocking cap with the ear flaps that has the little strings that come down so you can tie under your chin.
Deer stalker? Yeah.
Yeah, I just call them an ear flap hat because it's got big old ear flaps.
It's a deer stalker, darling.
Somebody was wearing one. Well, no, deer stalker's Sherlock Holmes. This isn't that.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So somebody was wearing one and it was a TARDIS. So it had the panels and it said police box around the top and it had a white pom-pom, like the light on top. It was pretty fantastic. Just wearing it around because, you know, that's how we do in Portland apparently, and it was awesome.
So I've seen Portlandia and it's all like that there.
Is it still cold there, girl?
No, it's, yesterday was like 65 and before that it was 70 for about 4 days and it's going to be 70, 75. For the next week. So we finally have sunshine.
Summer's here.
Exciting.
Well done.
So many pasty people.
And last but by no means me talking to pasty people. Greeny! Mr. Will Greeny, the British Mac Podcast. How the devil are you,
yay!
Boy?
Yay! Woo!
I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Excellent. What's been happening in Will Land?
I was at Google yesterday.
Yes, you were down in London, weren't you?
Yeah, it's the, I went to their new... they had offices at 123 Buckpell Road for a long time, but they've got some new offices just outside the Tottenham Court Road. And they're all really swanky, all sorts of weird rooms, like sort of a room entirely enclosed in velvet, and you can sort of... And it's got a weird library with books on that haven't got any... You know, you pick a book and it gives you random thoughts and stuff, and it's quite psychedelic, really. It's quite fun. So I was at Google yesterday, and I got my Google. They gave me a T-shirt. Look at that. Isn't that nice?
Oh.
Good old Google.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Apple. Well, actually, Apple
did. No, Apple did give you a shirt, mate. they gave you a job for quite a number of years as well.
Yeah. I can't really slag off Apple too.
I got a question last week on the photo show, and it was... the guy asked me, he said, is there anything that you can, like online tutorials for Aperture 3? And I said, worryingly, everything I know about Aperture 3 I learned from Will Green.
You see?
And it's true. Most of what I know about Aperture 3 I got from you.
You see, I keep my intelligence under a bushel.
Oh, man, that's so tempting. We've had a review. Thank you. In fact, this guy...
just the one, dear.
Dude Man from LA... he wrote a review and then he cut and pasted it into every show. So, it talks about the Mac news. So even in the big show one that he's done. So there we go. I like it when we have Jeff and Kelly on from 2R on the show, and it was nice to see Andy and Atko on the show too. Jeff and Kelly are very entertaining and knowledgeable guests. Have you written this, Kelly? It was nice to see Adam from Maccast as well. How about getting John and Dave from MacGeekGab on too? No idea who they are. I live in Los Angeles, and the Time Warner cable is my internet. I need to download it with LTE as it's super slow downloading on Wi-Fi. If it's okay, as I will probably not reach my 5 gig limit, but just in case someone else is having an issue with the download speed, I suggest to try to do it without Wi-Fi and use 4G or LTE instead. I've got no idea what I was going to do reviewing this show, but he's given us 5 stars, so thank you, dude, man.
Excellent. I know those guys, and Jeff knows those guys as well, that from Maggie Gab, he can totally, one of us can put you in touch if you want to get them on.
Man, I've got a list as long as your arm for this show, people that want to come on it. I feel you very flattered, but...
You just invite them on the wrong days.
I do. Thanks, mate. Give me a lemon, a paper juice, and a paper cut, and put lemon juice in it. God. Right, it's the Apple News. The Apple News this week, there's been a fair bit going on. Old Tim Nice But Dim is going to start off the All Things D conference next month. If it wasn't already boring enough with Mossberg and Swisher, they're going to have Mossberg and Swisher interviewing Tim Cook.
Didn't he do this last time? Wasn't he the last one?
He did it. I don't know if he was like the headliner, though, was he? Didn't he just sort of show up?
This is rock and roll, baby. He's the first one on the stage. He's the Mr. Kick It Off with style.
But he's not going to be able to tell them anything, I very much doubt. He's just going to sit there talking vagaries, and like they're going to be wanting to ask him questions like, is there an iWatch, is there an ITV or whatever? And he won't be able to answer any of them.
Mossberg will be sitting there offering to polish the end of his knob, mate. That's all Mossberg wants, is to just goggle them, rather. They're just, oh, Tim. He won't say a word, actually, because Mossberg will have wood. Kara Swish will do all the questioning. I hope he doesn't watch this podcast. I love you, Walt.
I hope he does. He should come on and defend himself.
He should. I find him... Because I find his stuff really quite bland. His average his coverage of Apple, because he doesn't. It's like he never wants to piss them off.
Well, and it's like he comes a bit late to the party almost. And you know, after you see something on a number of other sites, and there's been some insight, and people have sort of discussed it, and it's sort of come to this point where everybody has said everything they need to say. Now here comes Mossberg with like, this is news, and I don't understand it.
No, there we go.
I'll tell you what, though, it's really going to piss that guy off who's paid for the coffee. With Tim Cook.
Right.
Because he's going to get 10 minutes and All Things D are going to get about an hour.
Who won the coffee thing?
It's still going on, I think.
Is it? It's got me finished, yeah.
It was for a while, I think, yeah.
Yeah, still going. This wasn't this week in Mossberg anyway, so that was Tim Cook is headlining All Things D next week, next month, and it's this month. And I can't wait myself, I have to say. 10.8.4 was seeded to developers. 5 to 7 iterations are going to be coming, if Kelly's to be believed of this. So we've got 10.4, we've got 10.85 next. 8.6, is he going to go to 10.8.11, Kelly, you think?
I don't think so, because I think we're going to end up getting... I mean, look how far we made it with 10.7. Wasn't it... I want to say 5.
Yeah, I think 5 or 6. That we got
with 5.
Yeah.
Because they want to start releasing stuff a lot more rapidly. So I think what we're going to get at WWDC is going to be a peak at 10.9. Ceiling Cat, Thundercat, whatever you want to call
it. You think?
Yeah, I think we're going to get a peek at it. It's developers conference. So I think... That's what we're gonna get to see, and then I think what will happen is that Lion will be the one that falls by the wayside. It will turn into Snow Leopard, where if people are running 10.7, you go after 10.9 is released, and they will release the occasional update for Mountain Lion. But then Ceiling Cat, Liger, whatever is gonna be the one that they're gonna actually care about an update, because they were talking about it being like a 12 to 18 month OS cycle, where that's why it's $20, is so that people will stay current.
We're about ready.
That's why they dropped the price.
Yeah. Apparently in the chat room, the latest bid for the Tim thing was fake. It was done with a stolen credit card. And Alex says they're not journalists, they're publicists for themselves and their interviewees. And Batwinch says, doesn't Tim Cook look like Paul O'Grady in this? Tim, nice but Paul O'Grady. He is. We should see if we can get a Lily Savage thing and graft it on the top for him. You've got no idea who that is, Kelly, have you?
I know the name. I'm trying to place it, though.
Yeah, just Google Lily Savage on images and you'll be fine. Unless she's a porn star as well. But have safe search on just in case.
Oh, my goodness. He totally does.
Putty Cat. She's just done it yet.
Putty Cat.
Putty Cat, says Big Russ. Jolly good. iOS 7 is going to be flat. Very flat.
It's going to be just like Windows Phone.
I don't know what this thing flat means.
Windows Phone 8 is really nice, though.
I think it looks really good. Have you seen the latest Nokia ad? With the wedding.
The wedding one, yes.
The wedding one is brilliant. Google that. You need to have a look at that. It's very, very good.
Really? I thought it was lame.
Oh, I thought it was okay. We're English. iOS 7 is codenamed Innsbruck, according to three people who are familiar with the OS. And the interface changes include all new icon set from Apple's native apps, with addition to newly designed toolbars, tab bars, and other fundamental interface features across the system. Johnny's got his mitts on it, and now it's flat.
See, that's what I was saying before we started the show. I was saying to Will might finally get his wish, I believe. And you there reckon? Is a slim possibility that Johnny Ive might come on stage and explain his choices, maybe. What do you reckon, Will?
He's going to explain his choices?
Of, like, all the changes that he's made to the interfaces and whatnot.
Well, I think it's a good chance. I think if you... I don't know. If you look at the... what everybody else is doing. I think that the flat thing is a bit confusing, but I suppose what it is, there's sort of no drop shadow, there's no bevel and emboss and that sort of stuff on the UI.
It's saying all signs of gloss, shine and skeuomorphism will be gone.
Yeah, I think the old gloss thing has had its day, hasn't it?
Shiny button.
Yeah, shiny button thing has had its day. But I don't know. I think he's going to run the risk of looking too much like Google, because all the Google stuff, the new Google stuff is like super flat, isn't it? And quite nice looking, and so you can't replicate that. But so which direction he'll go? I would guess if I would be silver. I think it'll be flat. It'll be basic. Maybe haven't they changed their font as well? In the new ads, they've changed their font from Yeah, you know the one that's come out recently. Hold on, I'll silence that,
Johnny. I can't talk now, Johnny.
The new ad, the font has changed. And I wonder whether that's going to be part of the move to the new eye.
But some of the apps that you can buy for the phone now that utilize a flatter interface, like the, for example, the GTD app Clear, another one. There's some weather apps, and there's a whole load of apps that have come out, and they've already moved away from the generic design for iPhone. Everything's got shadows and glows and sparkles on it, and they look already. Those apps look more modern than the rest of the iPhone that they live on. And I reckon if the iOS itself moves more towards that, then that's probably going to be a good thing.
But that's playing catch up, isn't it? I don't think they'll ever play catch up.
That they're playing catch up with the UI of their developers rather than setting the UI themselves.
Well, that's right, and that's what they're going to do. I mean, he's a design genius. He's lovely. So
get him up here. I want him off him.
he'll be looking at the next stage. I mean, it's at the moment, like in web design, which I'm sort of involved with, you get all this sort of edge-to-edge websites, and you get the certain fashions and stuff, and they come and go. And I think Apple have been quite clever, really, with in some senses their UI for iOS hasn't changed particularly in 5 or 6 years, which is pretty amazing, really. And so if they are going to change, I think it'll be something radical and something that is totally out of place in the fashion world, as it were, today. And it'll be something that they'll be able to keep for another 5 years. The only bit that's been messed up, I think, is the old Scotty used car salesman Forstall implementing that sort of inelegant leather and wood thing that everybody hates. But that was never part of the original UI, as far as I can remember.
Well, wasn't that what Steve Jobs wanted back then?
Well, he was an idiot, wasn't he?
He was dying. He was the drugs.
People don't use the blink command enough in website design anymore, do they?
Blink.
good point from Alex in the chat room. He says, what about 3D? Because 3D grates more when you've got the shiny and high-res screen images. So if they go flat with Retina, they can go for higher contrast and they can do better 3D. Are we going to have a 3D Retina screen on there that's like the old Mario, Super Mario Brothers Nintendo thing?
No, isn't Alex suggesting he's against 3D in what he said?
Oh, there? Yeah, he hates it.
3D is worse if you're not, because in high resolution, all the drop shadow and stuff starts to look kind of crummy.
No, I've got that. What I'm saying is, he's making the point that 3D grates the more it's shiny and high res and all that kind of stuff. So I'm saying, well, does that mean we're going to look more to, if we're going flatter, are we looking to do more with 3D maybe? I'm agreeing with his point to a degree.
I don't know. I think we're really at the point, as far as the screen goes, where I don't know that the screen is going to get any better. I mean, it's already better than your eyeball can detect anyway. So I don't know that it's going to change any of that. The thing that I'm going to be interested in is to see how Apple takes the OS we have now and makes it flat, but not ugly. And that's the thing, is like a lot of people have sort of dismissed this or been unhappy about it because they like the way everything looks right now, and it does look nice. I'll say that it looks nice. But the catch is that it means everybody thinks, oh, well, flat means everything's going to be ugly again, and that what we're going to do on the mobile is go back to the days of like Jaguar and the pinstripe and all that sort of stuff. And I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. I think it's going to end up being really pretty. Like Clear is a very, very, really nice app, and it's very flat looking. It's not 3D and drop shadow and all of that. So I think it's going to be very nice to look at. I just don't know how it's going to look, but it'll be fun to see.
Good. I wonder if their default apps, I wonder if they change all the icons, they're going to insist that developers start changing their icons as well to fit in with the overall look.
Does the gloss get put on afterwards or before?
I think it's put on as part of the processes of you just do an icon and then it overlays that funny shadow thing.
The icons that I uploaded for the games that we did were just exactly as are. It adds the the rounded corners on, but it doesn't put any. It doesn't put any of the sort of the slight hemispheric semicircular glow.
No, it doesn't alter it. But yeah, no. They're all flat on the ones that I've got. What's quite interesting as well is I'm just looking at my own screen here on my iPhone, and if you look at the icons that are on there, I mean, can't see that because of the green screen particularly. But for example, Messages has got the hemisphere glowy effect for gloss, but Calendar hasn't, and then Photos has, but Camera hasn't, and Video hasn't, and Maps hasn't, and Weather has, and Notes hasn't, Reminders hasn't. It's got Settings hasn't. It seems to be utterly random when they do put the glossy on and when they go for flat anyway.
The ones that have got the gloss on are the hangovers from the original iPhone launch. And the ones without the gloss are the ones that have come in since then.
Right, okay, so they've done a natural waste. No, because Videos was in the original launch, and that hasn't got glossy on it.
Roughly.
Yeah, I blew that one out of the water.
Yeah, you're right.
But I can assume we're all looking forward to seeing what Johnny's done with it.
Yes, absolutely. What did Johnny do this week?
I'm looking forward to more than 7. I'm looking forward to 8, because that's when he will have been around long enough to really brush out all the traces of everything before, and everything will be officially deforestalled and disinfected and, you know, whatever else that Johnny thinks needs to happen. So
would that be unforestalled?
Oh, yeah.
As in uninstalled?
Uninforestalled, yes. So that's what I'm hoping will happen. Is I'm interested to see 7. I honestly don't know anything about the dev cycle or anything. I really doubt he's had an opportunity to touch every piece of the OS from the ground up as far as UI goes for 7. So that's why I'm looking forward to 8. I think 7's going to be the... it'll be like the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 5. It'll be the revolution, and then iOS 8 will be the evolution. Now that we've, you know, changed all this stuff, now we're going to tighten all the bolts and get the rest of it running really nicely behind it and get everything a lot more unified. So I think 8's going to be where it's at.
But they are saying that Johnny... Oh, sorry. But they are saying Johnny has delayed the process because he wants to make it more integrated and stuff like that. So that's why they're running so late this year, apparently. And in fact, they're pulling engineers off OS X and putting them onto the iPhone section. Mm-hmm. So maybe we will get a fairly large change at this next rev.
Oh, it'll totally be a large change, but I think it's going to be Lion, like how Lion was, and then OS 8's going to be Mountain Lion. Like, now that we've changed everything, we're going to make it all work really awesome and add a bunch of stuff that we wanted to that we didn't have time to get out the door before. So I think that's going to be very cool.
The chat room's off. Oh, sorry.
He's software and hardware. So, you know, he's a pretty busy guy.
We want to see design flow, love, between the two.
I did read a report as well, which I thought was quite weird. He's actually got the software and hardware teams talking to one another, and apparently Jobs never did that, which I find amazing.
Yeah, that is kind of silly.
Very strange.
The chat room's gone off on one about whether we're right or not with the things. Kev's jumped to the defence of DHM, saying that Videos was actually part of the music app, and the music app did have the hemisphere, which it did. Contacts, though, I found Contacts. Contacts is flat now. It hasn't got the hemisphere. Calculator hasn't got the hemisphere. Compass hasn't. And Voice Memos, which is also recent, has. So, absolutely. Forstall, that bloke Forstall, not a bloody clue what was going on. There's
I bet if you...
No,
if you
icon policy.
Now, you wouldn't find a photograph of Forstall anywhere in the building.
I bet if you go out on the planet, you won't find Forstall. He's in the basement with testicles, with electrodes on him.
Well, I think
he got it's an office at the bottom of a corridor, and every time he comes out, and there's an endless corridor with a CCTV camera at the end, and he shakes his fist at the camera and shouts, "I'm still consulting here."
Could be.
Go on. I'm going to defend him.
Oh.
Because I think Forstall's heart was in the right place. I think he was trying to make the operating system approachable. I think he was one of the people who saw that Apple's ultimate goal was not us. Apple's ultimate goal was people. It was muggles and getting things out into the world. And it's kind of intimidating to look at a calendar app for the first time, unless it looks like a calendar you're used to seeing. And I think those are the kind of things that he was trying to do to invite people into iOS to make it less intimidating for someone who maybe has never had a smartphone before. And those were the people they were aiming at. And yeah, now because we've been staring at it for so long and have seen what other people can do with this kind of interface and are used to technology, I think there's a lot of like poo-pooing of it. You know, oh, this is tired. Oh, and it feels very much like bowling when they put the bumpers in the gutters. And everybody feels like this is sort of training wheels on iOS. And maybe it is time for those to come off. But I think he was doing what he needed to do and probably what Steve thought needed to be done in order to get people in. Remember, when they first shipped the Mac, they added a mouse to – or the Apple, the Mac, I mean. When Apple first shipped the Mac and they added a mouse to it, people had no idea what to do with this thing. What is it? Why is there this cable? People would, you know, like women were putting it on the floor and using it as a foot pedal like it was a sewing machine, and nobody knew what to do. That's an actual honest to God call I have taken in tech support. So these are things that, you know, so they made a game and they said you take the mouse and you move the little fly swatter around the screen and swat a fly. And that was how they introduced people. Everybody swatted a fly before you chase it with the fly swatter. So they were trying to find a way to invite people in to get them more comfortable with using the technology that they were given. And I think that's what Forstall was doing. And yeah, his time had probably come and maybe it was time to show him the door. I don't know how ceremonious they were about it. I don't know if he just came back to his office and all his stuff was in a box or what. But that's the kind of thing that I think they really did need to do, because listen to the kind of heat that Windows 8 is taking for not being inviting to people. So there's my two bits.
True. Was it a real box or a skeuomorphic box?
It was a box with leather and stitches.
Chat room's gone off on not agreeing with Kelly about Forstall, not defending him anyway. Kelly's being very objective there, I have to say. But Forstall lover.
I never said he was a pleasant person for Alex. Alex, sweetie, you know I love you. I do.
Alex described him as an obnoxious git. He hated him as soon as he saw him, got told off for saying it. Now you all got to see the light.
Yes, the people at Xerox knew how to use a mouse. The people at Xerox invented the mouse. The people at Xerox is not who they were trying to sell the Mac to. Those are the people I'm talking about. So when you want to send something out into the whole world and you want the whole world to use the thing that you are giving them, then you want to make sure that you're giving them something that doesn't have a learning curve of this. And so that's the thing that I think they were doing and doing properly. And yeah, he could have been an obnoxious git, and that's fine and good for him. I mean, we all know Steve was no paragon of sweetness and light. So, you know, even just the few stories that are confirmed that have come out about Steve have proved that he was not what one would call a person who plays well with others for the most part. And yeah, he had a lot of charisma, and yeah, he could get away with it because he did have a mind that worked like no one else's mind has ever worked, ever, in my estimation. You know, good or bad, like, the man made a lot of advances in technology for everybody in the whole wide world, and, you know, some of us more than others. But the point I'm trying to make is that I think they were absolutely doing the right thing. Now, was Forstall in the right place now, and is, you know, was he where he needed to be? Probably not. And, you know, when he's done and cashes out and goes and buys his island and spends the rest of his time swimming in a vault of money like Scrooge McDuck, then, you know, good for him. But I think that he was doing what absolutely needed to be done. So, you know, for good or ill. And it's been time to evolve, and now we'll see what kind of stamp Johnny puts on it. And after a few versions with Johnny, I'm sure we'll all be sitting here on the British Tech Network Mac podcast complaining about whatever it is that Johnny has done now that is not skeuomorphic, but will certainly be easier to spell.
You don't need don't get into a to and fro with Alex. We'll be here all day, mate. Go on, Woodgreeny. What was that?
Oh, I was going to say I won't.
No, you just love him.
Yeah, whatever.
You love him unconditionally.
He could murder his mother and I'd still love him.
Oh,
actually, I met his mum, so no, I take that back, actually. No.
Windrider says Kelly's now got a flat box. There you go. And he's will projecting, he's will meditating or astral projecting.
I'm actually setting up a widget. I'm setting up barbecue Chinese pizza or curry for my pick later.
I love having you on this show. Oh, your pick. Got you. Okay, fair enough then.
Yeah, oh yeah, this is proper work I'm doing. This is not, messing about.
There was also another story on Tech Radar this week that said that iOS 7 wasn't for you. iOS 7 was for your car, which I thought was quite interesting. there's going to be a lot more eyes-free technology introduced than there was with iOS 6. Unconfirmed rumour, of course.
Okay.
Reckon?
We already know they're in bed with VDub about that car, right?
Yeah, the big iPhone holder.
Well, it's got like some sort of little badging on the side or something, doesn't it? And like a special place to hold your iPhone or something.
Well, apparently VW are going to get a little bit upset because Chevrolet, BMW, Toyota, Honda and Land Rover are also getting it on with Apple.
I never understood why Apple doesn't go to stereo manufacturers, because they give them a lot of USB port sometimes and Bluetooth. But
yes,
most people can't buy a brand new car every time, you know, a new phone comes out. But people upgrade their stereos fairly regularly, and that's not such a big outlay. So if the iPhone could interact with your car stereo, which you buy from Sony or I've run out of all other manufacturers out of my head, that would be much more accessible.
Pioneer.
Pioneer, exactly. To more people, I reckon.
Mm.
Alpine. That's what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, yeah. I mean, they certainly could. There's nothing stopping the car manufacturers not the stereo manufacturers approaching Apple and running Bluetooth-esque kind of integration as Sonos have done.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically all you get. You get Bluetooth or a USB socket, and that's it. I mean, I'm thinking about it, it's probably not much more you want, but...
I won't. You've answered your own question then.
Yes. I'll go away now.
Now, I mean, there was a survey this week as well that said that people that were using dictation systems also had as many accidents as people who were typing. And the guy that invented Siri said, no, you've done that crap. Because what the survey did was get them to dictate a message and then they had to proofread it before they could send it. Which, of course, is not what Siri's about.
Hang on,
based on some of the text I've sent from Austin.
Exactly. I was about to say, when have you never not proofread a Siri dictation?
Oh, I'd never do.
What?
I'm in so much shit most weeks because of one thing or another that I've said on Siri. And it's either Apple autocorrect or Siri interpretation, mate, in Chinese, and that's it. It's gone. I'm in deep pup.
We should all do a thing where one day we say, I'm just going to dictate all my messages today, and they're all just going to be what Siri thinks they are.
With National No Proofreading Day.
Yes.
And there won't be a day after because there'll be a frigging war. Start.
No, it'll just be that thing where everybody talks about how everyone has their head in their screen and nobody interacts anymore. Nobody will want to be speaking to anybody else after getting those messages, so it'll just get worse.
Yeah. The obsolete list has been published.
Oh.
You heard me right. Things are gone and they are gone. They are dead to me, says Tim. And it's pretty much 6-year-old iPhones are dead to Apple, as well as older iMacs, MacBook Pros, X servers as well are now completely off their radar, and all the PowerBooks have finally been taken off.
Wow.
Hallelujah. They're now vintage.
It's the end of an era, a little bit, you know? I mean, remember the Power... Well, okay, in the US anyway, the PowerBook was a thing, and it was very cool, and they had this ad campaign they did of what's on your PowerBook, and it would show two very different people. And it would be like, you know, Warren Buffett and Iggy Pop. And it would be like, here's the stuff that they have on their little portable notebook computer from Apple. It was very cool. I really liked that campaign. I wish they would bring something like that back. But I remember the PowerBook being, the PowerBook was the first computer I purchased. That was the first one that was my own machine that wasn't like someone else's or the school's computer. Or the cursed Performa that I had, you know, when I was a kid. But the first one I bought myself was a PowerBook 1400, and they were awesome machines. And I really think that was one of the things that got Apple a lot of attention. They did a lot in the mobile, in the air quote mobile. I mean, look at that thing now. My 1400 was like 6.5 pounds.
Feel old there, Kelly, by the way, by mentioning that the PowerBook was the school's.
No, the PowerBook wasn't the school's. The Performa was the school's machine. But the school also had, you know, a Color Classic years ago and an Apple IIe, which is where I spent most of my time as a kid. So, yeah, it's interesting to me to see the evolution of that. So it's a little sad to see the PowerBook name go, because if I'm not thinking about it, I still say that about my laptop.
My school had a Commodore PET.
Oh, those were cool, though.
4K. Yeah, it was cutting edge when I was there, not just cool, not retro. That was the icy tip, mate. Right there.
Did
Space
anyone...
Invaders on it.
Icy what?
The icy tip. Right. Go on. Did anyone?
Did anyone have the original iPhone when it came out?
Yes.
You did?
I bought it the week after it was launched.
And you, Will?
I got mine for free. Apple gave me mine.
Oh, of course. They gave all the employees one, didn't they? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly did.
Have you still got it?
Yes, I've still got
it. Mine's upstairs.
Because yeah. I did see when they went to, because that had the metal back, didn't it, back then?
Yeah, with the little black corner.
That's right.
Nicest design, I think, of the lot, really. Except for the sort of, I think probably sort of 80% down, if you like. 20% of it was this black plastic thing at the bottom, which wasn't brilliant. But the rest of it was beautiful. Really lovely design.
It was, the brushed aluminium on the back.
It was lovely, wasn't it? And it was really hard wearing as well, with a because it had like that sort of proper solid chrome bevel that if you dropped it, it could take it, really, couldn't it?
Yeah. Back when she's saying her school had BBC Model Bs, mine did as well, but I was nearly leaving by that point.
And you had ZX81s, what the hell? Everyone's got better stuff than my
Spider Spectrum. My dissertation at college on a Mac 512, or was it a 128? Mac 128. Nice. And I had to save my dissertation to floppy disks and spend half the time typing and half the time sticking disks into the machine to swap them over.
Because they were full.
Yes, and then you're like, well, the operating system would go, oh, you have typed three words. Please insert the PageMaker disk. And then I, please insert PageMaker disk. Kajunk.
32 kilobits.
Didn't I read they're remaking Elite?
Yes, there was a Kickstarter project, which Russ, the host of the Media Show, he backed as well. And they're remaking it. I can't remember what it's called. Elite Killer or something, or Hunter?
Elite
I can't remember.
Dangerous?
Dangerous, there you go. Thank you very much. Yes, and they're working on it, and hopefully it'll come out later in the year.
That's great, wouldn't it?
They send, because he's a backer, they send him videos and information on how the development's going. So it is coming back.
Excellent. Now then, big news this week. Google Now hit. It's out. You can get it. Got location services on it, which drains your battery like billy-o. I want a thorough review, please. Start us off, Carl, because I know you've been at this like a dog at a chair leg.
I do. I love playing. So when it came out, when I saw the blogs that had come out, I thought, yes, at last. So instantly I went to the App Store and I typed in Google Now. I thought, it's not there. Why is it not there? And I couldn't find it. I was searching for ages. Now I read properly and it says, oh, it's part of the search engine. It's a search app. So then I downloaded that again because I haven't used it for God knows how long. And sure enough, once you log in, all your details are there, although I haven't got much there at the moment. But it's telling me, for example, currently it's 19 degrees in Enfield and Tottenham are playing Southampton tomorrow.
Lovely.
No, tonight. Or is it tonight? 4th of May. No, 4th of May, a 3 p.m. kickoff. So, and I haven't really told it that. That's just based on searches that I do and obviously my location. And later on tonight, that's because it did it the other day, is it will say, meet Ewan at pub tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and it will cup up. And then tomorrow I'll get, again, because it showed me the other day when we met up.
So was it taking that from your appointments, from my calendar?
From my calendar, yeah. So I put my calendar appointments in using Fantastical. So, you know, type it in sort of English form. And it works all out, sends it back to Google, obviously. And that then translates onto Google Now, and on Friday it will see that I've got an appointment with you at Euston.
Yeah.
And it shows me, because I've told it I want it to do transport, like directions using public transport, it'll tell me when the train's leaving my local station and how to get to you. And then when I'm with you, it will say, this is how you get home again, without me doing anything.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Is there any part of the searches where suggestions would come up that would be inappropriate?
Not that I've seen. What it does do, if you look for a place, say like you're looking for a restaurant on just Google in general, and you're logged into your account, because I was searching for the Bavarian Beer House in Tower Hill, and then I searched for that on my Mac, and then later on I went to my iPad and I opened up Google Now, it had directions to get to the Bavarian Beer House in Tower Hill, ready to go.
Bloody
if I went to take advantage of it. So it's kind of scary. You can change the settings on it quite extensively, because like Aaron was showing me his one, and it was showing him how to get home using the roads. And he goes, well, don't want to know that. I want to get home using public transport. So I showed him how to change the settings, and he was well impressed by it as well.
He complained about battery life, and Saxon in the chat room says, Google now has battered my battery life. I lost 50% of charge in 2 hours.
Yes, you have to remember to turn it back off again, because it does come back pretty quickly, though, once you do turn it off.
There's also a link there from Kelly saying how to turn off Google Now and keep your battery charged.
There you go.
Anyone else had a play? Kelly, have you had a go with it yet?
I haven't touched it because I found out it was out, and then I found out we had to run an article on how to keep your battery charged. So I haven't played with it yet, but I haven't had a need because I haven't gone out and needed directions or asked for the weather or anything like that. So I haven't had a need for that. Like, it's not like I'm using Siri in the meantime. I'm not using anything in the last week or so. So if I were, then I would probably be more interested in it, but most of my appointments are like down here in the office in front of the camera, you know, talking to you guys or you know, a conference call or something. So I haven't had a whole lot of need for anything else.
No, I've had the same problem. I've been stuck in the bloody studio editing for the last 2 days. So Will, have you had a play?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
And DHM, just to close out the loop, you haven't played with it?
No, I haven't, sorry.
It would be perfect from you there, from what Carl's saying though.
Yes, it does sound
for calendar appointments and running around.
So, just to summarise, what does it do again?
Well, it pulls all your information that if you've got nothing in Google, it's not going to be much help to you,
right?
Because all it's doing is pulling in your contacts, your calendar, like for birthdays and stuff.
It won't pull it out of iOS, even though you're in an iOS device, unless it's in the Google sphere.
It has to be in the Google sphere, so you have to use Google Contacts, Google Calendar, all the Google products, which, you know, some people don't want to do because they're like, you know, they fear what Google does with their information. But Google give me such good service that they can have my details. I don't mind.
But it's sort of the Google infrastructure or the Google sort of dataverse. It's like a little sort of
bubble,
Something is hidden, living inside the iOS universe, isn't it now? They're gradually, it's like a little core of Google that's like sat inside iOS.
It is, and I keep wondering what would have happened if they hadn't had that Barney a couple of years ago.
The Google would have burst through Apple's chest. and run off into the darkness.
It would be a very different world. Technically.
Absolutely.
A Russian billionaire has purchased $100 billion of market value. Usmanov. I thought he wrote books on robots. 59 said in an interview to Bloomberg's Moscow offices, referring to Apple's late co-founder, when the company lost $100 billion of its market value, it was a good time to buy. Buy. Because the capitalization should remain.
I needed to launder.
Yeah, this guy is worth $19.8 billion US dollars. Not just a one-time billionaire, a 19-time billionaire.
Can't he sponsor the network then?
I'd love that. That'd be great. I'd work for him.
There you go.
I'd be his broadcast bitch. Alisha Usmanov.
It's just chocolate, pocket change for him, really, isn't it? I mean, he's got to figure that Apple, the stock has gone down and down and down and down, where they're not bringing anything out, and they know they're going to bring some stuff out the later half of the year. So it's going to go back up, and he's going to make even more money, probably.
Yeah. In Russia, Apple stock buys you.
I knew we'd get there.
He could get me a lot cheaper as well. The chat room's gone off on the fact that how bright can he be because his glasses suck. As it should have gone to Specsavers. He looks like he's squinting as well. He could do with a new prescription update.
Maybe he needs Google Glass.
Oh, God. Did you see they've released the instructions for that now, or what it's going to look like for the people that can't afford it?
Oh, Lord, no.
Awful. Belkin!
Yes?
I'm so sick and tired of talking about this frigging hub. Belkin's Thunderport hub. It was announced two decades ago, maybe, I think. And they've I can't. I'm desperate to swear, and I'm trying hard not to. They've screwed around for ages in the 60s. It was released in the 60s. Absolutely right, Kelly. And Thunderbolt was moon landings. And they've pissed about with it. And then allegedly it was going to be sent this week. And at the last minute, they said they can't send it straight at the moment. And I don't know whether it's shipping now, because I really have completely lost friggin' interest.
Oh, for corn's sake.
Exactly.
It says it is shipping. Unless there's an additional story here that I've missed.
No, there was an amendment. Delayed release date for it came out, and it was supposed to ship, but then it hadn't shipped on the day that it was supposed to ship, and it was just like, I've gone past caring now. It's like, do you remember, what's the app that did the crappy filters? And they teased it for about a year. And in the end, I wrote to them on Twitter and said, either release the app or don't. But stop teasing us with it. And I unsubscribed to them and blocked them in the end. I'd had enough of them. Couldn't cope.
Does anybody remember what I've said about Thunderbolt now over the last two or three years?
You said it was a dead dodo, mate. And I'm not sure it is going to be a dead dodo, but it's got to get Bucket's bloody ideas up.
It's from its initial release, it is. It's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous format.
It was a compromise.
Yeah. If anything, I'll tell you what they should have done. They should have made the Thunderbolt port and the port at the bottom of your iPhone or iPad to be exactly the same thing. So that would have spread sort of the connectivity, because they're both clever connections, little computers inside, and they both deal with the same thing. So they should have made them the same thing. And so everybody who had an iPhone would have had a Thunderbolt connector, and then it would have been taken up. But because it's just purely Mac, nobody's going to take it up.
Well, I thought, you know, Thunderbolt's really gone. I've got no Thunderbolt devices in the office. I hardly ever see any. And every Mac's got a Thunderbolt on it. Nobody uses it. And when you say to people, oh, look, this port on the side, it's your Thunderbolt port. And they go, meh, what on earth is that? And then a while back, I was in a client's office and we were moving data from one of their MacBook Pros to another. MacBook Pro, and we plugged Thunderbolt cable into one MacBook Pro, Thunderbolt cable into the other MacBook Pro, and transferred 250 gigabytes of data using Migration Assistant in under 11 minutes.
Yeah, that's all good. I mean, that's all good.
Did you just say 250 megabytes?
Gigabytes, 250 gigabytes of data in under 11 minutes. And I was thinking, I was ready to put my whole afternoon, I think, with FireWire, I'd have been there all afternoon. And it was like, dear God. And I thought, I came away and I thought, you know, I love this connector. It's brilliant. But since then, I've not used it again. So.
No, I mean, it works and it's fabulous stuff. And I've got the Thunderbolt monitor here connected via Thunderbolt, and it's super gorgeous. And I've got the little Thunderbolt Samsung dock thing where I carry loads of drives around and pop them in and out. And that is lifesaver. I mean, I'm carrying around the best part of 10 terabytes with me now in little tiny drives.
I've just looked on their site, Ewan, and yep. It says Thunderbolt Express dock in stock, £250, but it's not on Amazon, but it's on Belkin's site.
Yeah, no, this was, I think, Tuesday night. It was supposed to ship, and then it didn't ship, and then it didn't, and it didn't. And £250 a lot, because it's only $299 in the States.
Well, you know, that's the UK tax for you, isn't it? Or what they call it, the rip-off tax?
It's got USB 3s on it. I mean, it's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I really want one because I think it would be gorgeous. But I just got so sick and tired of them going, this is going to be fantastic. Well, if it's going to be fantastic, why the flipping hell can't you make it? Make it already.
It does, because it's taking so long, it does make you, well, obviously there were technical issues with it getting out on time. So maybe it's probably not a good idea to buy the first ones out.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Alex makes a point here that USB is fine for 99% of people, and he's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Thunderbolt, in terms of at the moment, isn't doing an awful lot better than USB 3, not enough to separate the differential of a £25 cable for it, but they've got to put Lightpeak in. They've got to have, once that goes to light transfer, then, and I probably think they don't have to change the form factor for that, just the connection port out, if it's going to be fibred out. So we'll have to wait and see.
I can terminate fibre.
Can you?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it work afterwards?
Yes, it does. That's one of my special skills, STRSC fibre termination. I can do that for you.
Excellent, mate. When I need some, I shall give you a shout. I could do with my house wiring for light.
I can do that, no problems.
How much is that going to cost me?
Membership for 150 years of the bubble cult.
Well, I'm already in because I owe you a Guinness, and that's a life.
Yeah, you're not in.
No.
Paid your subscription.
No, I haven't. But you said that was life membership for a Guinness, so I'll have the life membership instead, if that's all right.
Oh.
And then I'll get the free light connection service for the house.
Okay, well, that's fair enough then.
Which comes with it.
Yeah.
Apparently, WWDC, don't get your hopes up, upgrades to the laptops. That's it. They reckon that all we're going to get is some speed bumps and stuff for the... Why would you have a big event like WWDC and just say, we're just going to make a few things just a little bit faster?
Because it's going to be about software.
iOS, and they're going to do OS 10. You know they are. That's
exactly.
What it's all
exactly.
About.
And they could put Haswell processors, they think they're going to put in Intel's latest little processors there.
Yeah.
So it's just going to bump it. Mind you, last time they bumped it, they didn't... I mean, last time, obviously, they bought out the Retina MacBook Pro, so they made a bit of a song and dance about it. But the time before that, I just remember them updating their website. They didn't do anything special.
Mm.
It's going to be about software this time, I reckon. Because it's for developers, isn't it?
Nothing else. Well, they wouldn't do it at the event. I mean, they'd just do the speed bumps and be done with it.
Unless they bring out a Pro. All those people wanting a Pro.
Yeah, the Pro.
Look, yeah. I won the European Podcast Awards because this is proof. You've seen this before, haven't you?
Yeah. You're lying.
All right then.
Plus, they published the winners and you weren't on it.
Alex.
Okay. So, if they bump the laptops at WWDC, that's fine. They're not going to be new. It's not going to be exciting. Who is expecting that at WWDC? The reason I'm asking is because we already heard from Tim in the earnings call that the good stuff starts in the fall and carries through next year.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep. So why am I waiting for something to happen that I already know? I know as much as I'm ever going to know about what Apple's doing for the next 6 months because Tim Cook told us in that one sentence.
Well, I only read the news.
Officially from Apple. We know exactly as much as we're ever going to know because he said starting in the fall and through 2014. So that's it.
I need the link bait, Kelly. I need the link bait.
I know. And because they're not releasing anything new and exciting until the fall, Apple is doomed. I know. But I certainly prefer doomed to beleaguered. Let me just say that. That's how long I've been around.
I agree. It's just a rumor.
Let them. Well, and if they're going to update laptops, fine. Let them update laptops. It's been a while and I don't know what they'll put in them, but, you know, cool. Maybe they'll, you know, just a processor nudge. And, maybe the Retina will get $100 cheaper. I don't know. I expect a bump every now and again. So it's probably time. I don't think it's exciting news. And I don't think Apple has to make somebody pass out every time they release an update. I think really WWDC is going to be about what's coming in 10.9 because nobody's seen anything out of it yet. Not to the dev seeds or anything. So I think that's where it's officially going to kick off. And I think we're going to see iOS 7, just like Carl was saying, that this is going to be a software show, and it always was, and that's what it's going to continue to be, because these guys aren't designing hardware for the most part. These guys are designing software to run on the hardware Apple already makes. So it makes more sense to show them a new OS than it does to show them a new Mac.
Absolutely.
Ewan?
Yes?
European Podcast Awards, don't worry, they give you the crap one.
What's that?
The Olympus one. You know the Olympus recorder?
Yeah, yeah.
They give you the cheapy one.
Yeah, because they're tight asses. European Podcast Awards is an utter fraudulent exercise. I have no interest in
who's the winner then? Where's the winner? I can't say who the winner is.
The winners are on the list of the blog. It tells you, but it's some Spanish twat.
That's a bit harsh. He might be a nice bloke.
I don't know. I thought his show was crap. I couldn't understand a frigging word. So that's the news. That's the end of the news. That's the rumours as well as...
Yeah, we need to fasten this up a bit. Is it me or is it dragging on a little bit?
No, we're done. It's all right. It's fine. But Batwench is, and everyone else is saying that the Justin TV feed's going out. And it's dropping more than a Glasgow junkie. So we'll have to try and get rid of that. I want to get YouTube, but YouTube... We need to go... Actually, Greeny, your connections at Google, get them to enable frigging live broadcasting things on my channel, please, British Tech Live. gmail.com.
I have some connections in Google now, so I might.
BritishTechLive@gmail.com. Tell them I want a live streaming enabled so that I can stream, because the Justin TV is pissing me off royally. And then when it does it on YouTube, then you know it's my fault, but I don't think it is my fault.
Well, I think we need to, if we're going to do that, we need to say, you know, how much you love Google.
I shall put a Google logo in the bottom corner of the screen, right there.
You should do a Google podcast.
No, I haven't got the time, and I haven't got the knowledge either. If you want to do it,
an F1 and all that gubbins. No, we need to.
We haven't done one of those yet. We need to do one of those. Right, this podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2.net. They're brilliant. They're fantastic. They're super genius, and for a lot longer. I'm doing a voiceover for them at the moment for one of their new services that's coming out. It's really cool. Batwinch in the chat room earlier said, who would have thought that a slight Brummy accent could sell products? Thank you very much. UK2 are brilliant. They look after us. You should look after them. If you want web stuff, every time you buy web stuff, going through our website to the UK site, to the UK2 site, and then using our offer codes, you keep us afloat, because they love sponsoring us because you guys keep buying product from them. So thank you very much. They pick up all our bandwidth and we're indebted. So please support UK2. They're wonderful. Right, it's time for the cool thing. DHM, what do you have?
Well, oh, wheels off on one.
It's not me, it's a virtual me. It's me trapped in a little telephone.
He's doing his show.
He's probably... Yes.
Anyway, I just, when you get the jingle at the start, I cut off... Ewan's jingle, put my jingle on, and whack it out. It's good enough. I mean, I've been doing that with Don's podcast for years, so, you know.
Stop whacking things out.
Yeah, that's the problem right there. You go blind. DHM, your pick.
Right. My pick is two things in, well, one thing in two formats, because you can get it for Kindle on your iPhone or iPad, which is the super tenuous Apple link, but you could also buy it as folding bits of paper that you rifle through and read in page order until you get to the end,
right?
And it's called it's not at all about what the title sounds like. It's called The Backroom Boys.
The truth comes out now, doesn't it? Dr. Happy Mac.
The subtitle is
You and Stuart Hall.
The Secret Return of the British Boffin, it's called.
Boffin in the back room.
It's the history of how we in Britain invented bloody everything that makes the entire world worthwhile today, but gave it all up because we didn't have enough money. Basically, four chapters in this book, and it focuses on four different areas that Britain led the world in after World War II, starting with the space program and Concorde.
That's a bit of a leap, I would have said, considering that the Germans have been stuffing rockets on our head throughout the previous 5 years, and we'd done sod all in reply.
Yes, so that's it after the war, because but basically it's the story of how we gave our technological advantages away time and time again to our American cousins.
I was going to say, I thought that the alteration of history from the factual truth was only something the Americans did. Obviously, we do it too.
Yes. It doesn't claim we invented anything. It's basically celebrating the fact that the Americans were doing this at the same time with the space program. The Americans took all of the German scientists away and threw all of the money that they had at the space program, and we had two men in a shed, and we still almost got there.
And we still didn't achieve it, yeah.
And then we had Concorde. So there's another chapter on Concorde and the development of supersonic airliners. It's basically it's a homage or pain to the British Boffin.
Excellent.
Sounds fantastic. Now, I'm not going to belittle that, because I believe we are one of the greatest innovators and creators and inventors of in the world.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the Americans just rip us off every time with all their cash.
You know Kelly's here, right?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, Kelly.
I didn't say you were wrong. I didn't do it. You don't mean me.
The chapter on the creation of the Elite video game for the Spectrum is fantastic, and BBC Micro is a fantastic little story of British computer science and at its absolute best.
And on day six, God created Britain.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the 80s, we had 70% of the world's computer market, 70% of it.
Right.
And you know, there we are. I mean, there it is. What more do you want? Yeah. We are the proper, the creators of the computer and computer industry.
Did you ever see that film, Micromen?
Oh, what a fantastic film that was, wasn't it?
Most enjoyable.
Have you, more to the point, have you seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding with the old man who says, you give me a word, I show you it in Greek? Because that's what you lot sound like.
Yes,
okay. You give me an invention, I show you British invention.
I mean, at the same time, there's three chapters, and one of the chapters is about the deciphering of the human genome, which the Americans were trying to do. This scientist Carl Ventnor was trying to decipher it, and American corporations were piling money into this. And if the Americans had done it first, then it would have all been copyrighted, and the whole human genome would have been owned by American corporations. And like a bunch of British people in Cambridge said, no, this shall not be. And they sat down in caravans in the car park with money that were given to them by the Wellcome Research Foundation, and they beat the Americans to it. And every night they were uploading all of the decodes onto the internet so that it would get out into the public domain so that the Americans couldn't copyright it.
Okay. And in 1939, who stood alone in the whole of the world? Not for money, but for justice, human justice.
Holy.
Which country in the world was that? Us, Great Britain. We stood alone.
Thank God I can edit this shit out. Carl, your turn, mate. Pick something for Christ's sake and shut this.
I'm gonna be lazy. I'm gonna go with Google now. Because I just think it's really clever the way it works. I wish it would be more integrated into the iPhone, but if it's still stuck in the Google search, that's still good enough for me at the moment.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. To the point. Kelly, what have you got for us, girl?
I have a notebook, an analog pick this week. I went and found it on the Staples UK site. So the link that I have in the show notes is to Staples UK. You can find the same thing on staples.com here in the US. And it's this notebook. And what's cool about it is the Hello Kitty stickers are cool, but I did that. It doesn't come that way for people who are concerned. It's spiral. It's discs that are bound, that it's bound with. It's not like metal all the way through the pages. And so you can take stuff out and rejigger the notebook however you want it. So I bought this little zipper pouch for it, and I bought some tabs, and I squished them in and built the notebook that I wanted. I've got some graph paper in the back so that I can use it to do a design for my backyard, because my backyard totally needs help. And so now I have a way to sketch out ideas for it. And it's very cool, and I don't have a price on it because you can spend as much or as little as you want. I don't know what size this would be in the UK. I bought this size notebook, and I'll put up my iPhone next to it for comparison so you can see how big it really is. There's one that's a larger sort of 8.5 by 11 piece of paper size, and there's one that's smaller than this one, and they all use the same discs, and you can buy a hole punch from Staples if you really get into it. You can buy a hole punch that will punch pages just the way you need them, and then they're super easy to use, and you can see that the punches don't go all the way around, so you can pull things out and put them back in as you need to. And it's very cool and really affordable. There's another